Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Hope you're doing well out there. Well, you know, my dad always said that I should write a book on my dating experiences in my younger life. Because I was in search of love and I tried everything. I tried all the online dating. And let me just tell you, people online lie. They flat out lie. They lie. They post pictures that don't look like themselves. They lie about what they do, what they look like. And I'll never forget this one time I was meeting this guy and he shows up 30 minutes late because he claimed it ran long at the gym. This was the start, yes. The date proceeded to get worse from there because he also failed to mention that he had shaved his head. His beautiful hair in the picture, which was probably his best feature, he had shaved. And you know, some people can pull off a shaved head. Bruce Willis, my brother, he could not. So I'm standing there staring at this. He's already late, which you know with me, that's like a thing. Then he proceeds to try and tell me what to eat and drink. Mm-mm, people. So yes, the whole date proceeded to get worse from there. And I mean, I've got some funny stories, but with all the funny stories, I also experienced more heartbreak than a country song. And the last love tragedy that I went through, I swore off love. And maybe some of you listening can relate to that. You've been there before. And I just thought, you know, I've given love enough tries, and it's just obviously not for me. It's not meant to be. And I was very focused on God and working in the ministry and just serving the Lord. And I thought, you know what, I've tried it my way. I'm just going to serve God and not even be interested in love. And one day, Sister Padma came to visit us, and I was driving her to the airport. And en route, she said, Cindy, you're too young to be alone for the rest of your life. She says, I'm going to pray, and God send you some so you can remarry. You need to be married. And of course, if Sister Padma is praying for you, I mean, you really don't even stand a chance, right? So it's just like, I had to really go home and like rethink what I was doing because I was like, wow, Sister Padma's going to pray for her husband. Do I even stand a chance against that? So, you know, I went home and I thought about it and I was like, oh, you know, God, do you possibly still have somebody for me? Is there somebody up your sleeve that I don't know about, you know? I don't know. And then I don't know if you remember when Pastor Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons came to preach for us a few years back. He's the grandson of Kenneth Copeland. And we had a great time with them when they were here. And of course, I don't really know her. I've never really talked with them privately. And it was at the end of that night event, right before they were about to leave, she pulled me in the back room and she said, I've got a word from you. I feel prompted by God to tell you this. And I was like, okay, wow, this is... And she said, God is going to give you the desire of your heart. And I was like, okay. She said, not just any desire. He's going to give you the greatest desire of your heart. And she walked out. And I remember going home and thinking, what is my greatest desire if I'm honest with myself? And if I was honest with myself, I wanted a love like I grew up with, like I saw that my parents had, like my brother and Anya have, you know, like Tim and Jen and so many people I know that have these great loves. And so I was just like, all right, God, if you have this person for me, then, you know, then I want him. And then one day my brother moved into a house across the street from a neighbor who I would call the hot neighbor, a.k.a. Terry, also known as my husband now. And if you don't know, today is April 19th. It is our one-year anniversary today. Love you, babe. We serve a God of miracles, really, because God managed to find a beautiful man with a heart of gold to love this super, super strong, very particular woman. Thank you, babe. And, you know, he supports me in this journey and supports me in ministry. And, you know, I think that's what more could I ask for? And I just feel so blessed. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Terry, for that. I know you nice. If you're wondering how this ties into my sermon, it doesn't. I'm kidding. Of course it does. I'll show you in a minute. Let's read one of our favorite stories in the Bible. Let's read from John chapter 11 and verse 1. And we have got the, believe we have got the scripture up on the screen for you as well. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory and so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." There's really so much to unpack in the story, but I just want to talk for a minute about, let's talk about this note that was sent, that the sister sent to Jesus. Imagine for a moment the person you love is dying. And then you remember, wait a minute, I know this guy Jesus, and he does miracles. You know, maybe he'll come and heal my person I love. So you decide to write him a note. What would you put in that note? What would you put in that note to get Jesus to come and heal the person you love? Would you start to write? I'm sure I would say, "Well, oh, Jesus, you know, my friend here, they love you so much. They go to church every Sunday. They're big givers. You know, they're always up front worshiping. You know, God, they're such a kind person. Jesus, could you come and heal them?" I'm sure that's probably what our note would say to get Jesus to come and heal that person we love. But what does Mary and Martha write? They write, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Wait, the one you love? Not Jesus, the one that loves you, the one that you love? Could it be that what moves God is not our love for him, but his love for us? Could this be the entire message of the gospel? Isn't this the good news that we preach? That it's actually not about you. It's not about how much you love him. It's about how much he loves you. That's the message of the gospel. And you know, if you look at the original Greek for the word love that's used here, of course, there's four different definitions for the word love in the Greek. But if you look at this one where it says Mary and Martha, where it says, "Lord, the one you love is sick." So the note they send to Jesus, what's the definition of that word love? The one they use in the Greek is phileo. And that is translated to affection. It's translated to warmth, brotherly love. It's a friendship kind of love. It's really also a lot of times it's the love that they use when people get married. When they're saying their vows, it's the, "I promise to love you," you know, and they promise you back. What that is, it's a reciprocated kind of love. It's a love that makes me happy. That's what that is, right? But when it talks about how Jesus loves them, and it said, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus," that Greek word is agapeo. And it means dedication, devotion, and unconditional love. That's what that word means. See, the sisters wanted Jesus to come on the basis of a phileo, a friendship love. But Jesus takes it one step higher and he says, "No, I'm coming because I'm dedicated to you. I'm coming because I'm devoted to you. I'm coming because I love you unconditionally." That's what agape is. You know, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, if we were writing that note to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, we need you," it would have been filled with, "Well, you know, I've read my Bible quite a lot this week, and I've prayed," and, you know, we get into those situations where it's a trial or something that we're facing or something that we need God to move in our circumstances or our situation, and maybe we start to kind of look at our lives and go, "Well, I've read my Bible, I prayed a lot, I did give my offering, I was standing up for worship in my living room," you know, whatever the case may be, we kind of start to look at our lives and trying to say, "Okay, God, you know, you can move in my life because I deserve it or I'm maybe worthy of it now, or whatever the case may be, there's always that kind of fight that we have internally within ourselves. I think it's just human nature, to be honest. I think we're constantly putting that down. But there's also on the flip side of that, there's that side where maybe you've slipped, or you've fallen, or you've drifted from God, or you've made a mistake, you've messed up too many times. So now when trouble hits or trials come, you think you don't have the faith towards God because your heart condemns you. You don't have that faith to say, well, I don't deserve God to move in my behalf because XYZ. I didn't think I deserved another chance at love because of what my life had looked like. But see, if you could truly wrap your head around and your heart around, truly, truly understand how God loves you, if you could truly, really grasp that what moves God is not your love for Him, it's His love for you. It's not about you, it's about Him. And when He sent Jesus to die on the cross, He gave His all. He gave everything. When Jesus saved us, that word saved in the Greek is sozo, and it means saved, delivered, and healed. God has already thought of it all. He already covered it all when Jesus died. It's not about you. It's about what He's done for you already. You know, we talk about quoting the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures to help us. You know, and I think when we go to God in prayer, or when we go to Him, we almost are reminding Him of how much He loves us. That's what we're doing. You know, I think so many times we go in prayer and sometimes we're like, God, I, you know, this, that, the other thing. But if we actually went to God and reminded Him, hey, you know, God, how much You love me, reminding Him of how much He loves you, that's what that note was. That's what that note they sent. They said, remember, Jesus, You love this person. That's why You're going to move on their behalf. And when we encourage you to read scriptures and to quote them out in your circumstance, whether it's finance or healing or over your family, when you quote those scriptures out loud, you're reminding yourself of how much God loves you. Because those are promises, those are declarations of His love for you, of what He's already promised, of what He's already done for you. So when you say that, you remind yourself, you're like, wow, God really loves me this much. He said, yes, you're a cheerful giver. I'm going to bless you. Oh, my son died. He took all those stripes on the cross so you can be healed. Wow, God, every scripture is how much He loves you. And that is what you have to grasp. That is what you have to wrap your head and your heart around. It's not about you. That's the title of my sermon, by the way. It's not about you. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, Paul here, he's writing to the Christians in Ephesus, and his main prayer is that he just wants them to know Christ's love for them. He's so desperate, and he's saying, not in your head, but in your heart. Like, you got to get this. So let's read what he says in Ephesians 3 verse 16. He says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, here we go, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is His love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's kind of like Paul doesn't have enough words to express what he's trying to convey. You know, he's like, I don't know how many other words I can use, but it's so beyond your comprehension how much God loves you. If you could just grasp it. You know, but why? Why is this so important? Why is it so important that we know how much God loves us? Well, if you know how important God's love is, then you can love Him back. See, and if you don't really think that God fully loves you, you won't be able to love Him back. I mean, maybe out of like religious duty, you know, but never the falling in love with Jesus. Never that encounter with God that He so desperately wants. If you don't know that God loves you, you're never going to trust Him. Because would you really trust somebody with your life's decisions if you don't think that he's got your best interest at heart? No, you wouldn't, because you're like, you don't think he really loves you, then you wouldn't really be able to trust him for what he's saying about your life. You know, and if you don't think that God really loves you, you also won't be able to obey him. I mean, maybe in like the small things, you know, the small, easy commands that you would do anyway, you know, like don't kill somebody. You're like, oh, I can do that. You know, it's got that one down. Check. See God, you know, doing what you say. No, I mean, you could get away with the easy ones, but on the more difficult ones, you wouldn't be able to truly obey him if you didn't understand how much he loves you and why he's asking you to do what he's asking you to do. So every aspect of our spiritual life hinges on the fact that he loves us. Everything, our spiritual foundation is based on the fact that he loves us. And that was what you have to grasp. Because if you don't really know in the depths of your heart that God loves you so much, you're going to have trouble obeying him, serving him, trusting him, worshiping him, seeking him, leaning on him, resting on him. You're not going to be able to do any of that. Because at the root core, you're not sure if he really loves you. And that's what these stories in the Bible are. They're there to remind us of how much God loves us. He values you. He treasures you. You are the most important thing to him. That's the God we serve. And, you know, I think one of our prayers that we should pray probably more often is, you know, Lord, just show me how much you love me. Open my heart, open my understanding, God. Reveal it to me, Holy Spirit, in a new way. You know, break down these walls, these shells that I've built up around my heart in human love, whether you've been hurt because of a tragedy or because somebody misused your love or abused your love, and so you have this warped sense of what God's love is supposed to be. You look at him through a broken lens. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and mend that. Ask the Holy Spirit to say, God, shatter me. And even if you think you've had the perfect life, the perfect upbringing, the perfect family unit, well, guess what? That is still only a human perspective of the love of God. It can't even come close. Think about a different capacity, what it would look like, what people around you, how your life would change if you understood what the love of God meant to you. If you truly understood that, what would you be able to receive that you haven't been able to receive? Maybe you're sitting there today and you're dealing with an illness or a sickness or something that's a lingering pain that you haven't really seemed to be able to get over, even though you feel like, oh, you've quoted the scriptures, you feel like you're standing in faith. Well, maybe you're missing the love element. Maybe you're missing the fact that God just loves you so much. That's why he already did it all. That's why he already gave it all. It's receiving that love and receiving that from him that's a free gift. You have to know in the depths of your heart, in the deepest place of your soul, that God loves you and that he's got your best interest at heart. And you know, there's never been a more important time in the world than right now to know that you are loved by God. Because, I mean, you've seen tragedy, we've seen people's lives being lost over what's happening in the world. And tomorrow is not promised to anybody. None of us are promised tomorrow. So are you truly ready to meet God? Can you say that, you know what, I've laid down my life for my Savior? Because, you know, sometimes it's that pride of saying, I'm doing my life my way, you know. It's kind of what's ingrained in us. You got to take care of yourself. You got to do it. And it's like, have you really laid down your life and your pride and said, Lord, I don't want you just to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord of my life. I want to trust you. I want to fully experience that love and then allow that love of God to flood you, to fill you, so you can have that encounter with him. And if you've never done that, then we're going to, at the end of this, I'm almost finished, we're going to give you an opportunity as we pray to ask God to fill your life, to renew your life, to give you a new spirit, and he will. And I'm telling you, you will never be the same again. And for those believers that are watching, that are, you know, thinking, oh, maybe how does this appeal to me? Well, I think one of the biggest lies that we believers believe sometimes is that You know, oh, I've messed up too many times, or I'm not worthy enough, or I don't deserve this, or, you know, I don't know if God's, it's good, my life's good enough like it is. Why do I need to ask for more? I don't want to seem greedy. I don't want to seem like I should ask for love again. You know, I didn't, as I said before, I didn't think I deserved another chance at love, for sure not. But that's the human perspective. See, the way God looks at us is God looked at him and was like, I love Cindy so much. I want her to have a great love. I want her to have a love in her life that's going to fulfill her and that she can walk this life within this journey with. I've got this great love that I'm going to give her. That's how God sees us. That's how much he loves you. So don't believe that lie that you've messed up too many times or in this particular area that, you know, oh, that's a write-off in my books. You know, probably God's not even happy with me there. No. He loves you beyond your wildest imagination. And anything he does for you, anything he provides for you, is because he's moved by his love for you. Sometimes we think, oh, God, I love you so much, you know, and we do. We try and love God the most we can, but I'm sure it's like a little drop, like a teardrop in the ocean of God's love. So even if you can love him at your best, he loves you infinitely more than that. And so if you're willing to do X, Y, Z for your child or for your family member or even for God because of your love, imagine what more God wants to do because of his infinite love for you. You are deeply and completely loved, and you mean the world to him. And God needs you to rise up and be who he's called you to be. Because guess what? The Bible says we are all ministers of the gospel. It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. God has called you. He's appointed you. He's got a plan for you. He needs you to rise up and be who he's called you to be, fully trusting that he loves you, fully trusting that he's got the best plan for you, not listening to the lies of the enemy. Shut them out. It's time to be who he's called you to be and realize that there is so much more he wants for you and has planned for you. And get to that place where you can say, God, I want to receive everything you've got. Every spiritual gift, I want to receive it. Every good and earthly gift, I want to receive it. I want to be a blessing to everybody around me. God, expand my heart. Let me understand your love, because it is truly the foundation of everything we believe and everything we do. I want to pray right now. If you close your eyes, if this message spoke to you and maybe you're listening and you haven't made that commitment to God, you haven't said, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I'm going to lay down my pride and I'm going to follow you, God, with everything I've got. I want to experience that love, that overwhelming love that you have for me. Then just pray this prayer right now with me. Just say, Father God, I repent of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for everything I've done. I receive the blood of Jesus. I receive Jesus' righteousness. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you that I'm righteous before you. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for filling me with your love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And wherever you are, believers, just receive that love. Just ponder on it this week. Make it the forefront of your thoughts. Just think about it. Just focus on the love of God. No matter what's going on, just try and imagine what that must feel like. Because God loves you so, so much. Amen.